first hour is with guests like our next one, Mr. Andy Basile, who is with us from Young Basile, a law firm in Troy now, but kind of a young man who has come back home. I'll say young man. Okay, Andy? That's okay?
Maybe not too young.
Well, you
it's
left...
radio. No one knows that, right?
You left Detroit many moons ago to go to California, to the West Coast. And was the firm Young Basile formed out there, or had it existed before you went out?
The firm is a longstanding Michigan law firm. I worked at other firms for many years.
I see. Okay. But the work that drew you out there, if I'm understanding correctly, was work with the then kind of growing internet industry, the Silicon Valley industry.
Exactly. I was one of the first lawyers in the 1990s to focus on the internet, and I ended up running the internet department of a large Silicon Valley law firm in San Francisco.
Wow. That must have become an exciting time, because it was a wild west, you know. How did you strap your six shooters on and go out and try to deal with things, aren't you?
It was an amazing time.
What were some of the big issues that you ran into in those early days of dealing with the internet?
I think uncertainty. It was a new media, and people just had no idea what was going to happen. And so if you held yourself out as an expert with an answer, you were in great demand.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we started this radio show.
Yeah, that's true. There were lots of questions out there. But, I mean, what are some of the issues you were dealing with? Like, not privacy so much, but I'm thinking of patent and protecting ideas,
intellectual property.
Right.
Well, IP.
I think the biggest early issue were domain names.
Oh, yeah.
I recall it was a big deal and still is today. I remember looking into it in 1993 and kicking myself even today for not registering every domain name I could have thought.
Yeah. Well, even as late as 98, my son was born, and my wife said, well, let's make him Justin, name him Justin. And I said, just a minute. I went out to GoDaddy, and justinbaker.com was available. I said, sure, we'll name him Justin. Why not, right? He had to have his own domain.
Did you register?
And we did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's Justin at justinbaker.com.
I love it.
You know, these Ann Arbor people, we really have to have a long, long talk with them.
My daughter is Lauren at laurenbaker.com. They have their own domain name.
I love it. But I imagine that cyber squatting then became an issue, where people would squat on coke.com, or it wouldn't be that necessarily, but some of the other names that were significant.
It was a huge issue, and the rules were not clear, and the procedures for removing a cyber squatter were not established.
Right.
So what were some of the other things that you can remember just in general? I know you can't talk about specifics, but just in general, were other areas other than domain names in those early days?
Privacy at the very beginning was a major issue and still is.
Mm-hmm. Big issue. Now, you have since come back to the Detroit area. Why come back from sunny California, other than me, you've been on the wrong side of the San Andreas Fault?
Great fear of earthquakes. I came back 10 years ago for family.
Oh, yeah, good.
We've heard that often, that people who have been very successful on the West Coast have come back for quality of life, too. They've talked about being a very big
player. So you must have seen when you left, right? It was a very different time, and you saw some great technology out there and some great technology companies. Coming back here 10 years ago, tell us a little bit about what you think are the differences back when you first came back, and now maybe what we're doing about it, and what you see we're doing about it. Are we catching up, maybe? Or are we going in a different direction?
Oh, we're catching up.
Okay.
No question. When I left 10 years ago, and I told people in Silicon Valley that I was moving back to Detroit, it was as if I were telling them I was headed to, Timbuktu. People said, well, what will you do for a living there? And how will you feed your family? And when I arrived, I sort of understood where they were coming from in terms of it seemed it was a world away from Silicon Valley. But in the last 10 years, I think there's been some tremendous changes.
Where have you seen the biggest changes?
Motor vehicles.
So tell us what you think.
Well, I think that if you read the papers, you'll see a lot of interest emanating from Silicon Valley in the motor vehicle industry. And this was something that just, from my perspective, did not exist 10 years ago. You know, Tesla is a great example of what we're talking about. And I think this has become a phenomenon. And it's helped converge these two business communities.
Is there a kind of a growing respect, you think, and I'm kind of getting an undercurrent of that in Silicon Valley for what's going on in Detroit?
I would say maybe grudging, not growing.
Not that. Why course, grudging?
We would probably do the same, so I understand.
I think, you know, it has been my experience sometimes that a supplier of electronics, for example, would decide to enter the automobile market with great confidence, and then after a year or two would say to me, oh my gosh, you know, 15 parts per million defect rate, well, how can we do that? So I think it is the automobile industry is a tough industry, and I think people who have entered it in recent years probably are learning that it's not quite as easy as it may have seemed.
Well, and I think there's not a good appreciation of the scale of the industry. I dealt with Mark Andreessen, a name from the very beginning of, you know, the graphical browser wars, started a group that developed Mosaic at the time, and then Netscape afterwards, and he was, we enticed him to come talk to us, and he wanted to take and put his next company some software on some of the servers at GM, and only wanted to do it on maybe 10% of the servers in this one group. And, you know, we told him that that's like 3,000 servers. And he says, no, just 10%. We said, that is 10%. And he went, no, then how about 1%? You know, he just misunderstood scale. And that happened all the time with people that didn't really know the auto industry.
It's interesting to get on that Delta nonstop flight to San Francisco, you know, Monday morning and talk to the people next to you. And I have noticed in recent years, a lot of those people are from tier one, tier two suppliers. So, foot.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great opportunity for Detroit and also potentially a bit of a threat.
I think you're right on both counts.
We're talking with Andy Basile, who is with Young & Basile here in Detroit, but and had worked in Silicon Valley for many years, came back to the Detroit area. Now, do you commute back and forth, or do you cyber commute?
I fly out about once a month.
Okay, wait, so you had to take the red eye back. I had a son-in-law who did that every week for a number of years. He was working for Accenture and had accounts on the West Coast that he had to go to. And I just, my hat's off to anybody who makes that kind of commute. Talk about commutes, what a brutal commute that would be.
Well, when I first came to Detroit, I did go back weekly, year and a half. Went back so frequently that I began to make friends on the Thursday night red eye.
Andy, a question for you, because we're coming close to the end of our time that we have here. What do you think is we need to do here in the Detroit, not just in Detroit, because this broadcast is also heard across the state of Michigan and western
outside.
Michigan as well.
And outside of Michigan as well.
So we're talking about the western part of Michigan, Grand Rapids and Muskegon and Lansing in the center of the state, etc. What do we need to do to make this more of an internet-rich kind of culture?
Right. It's a great question. I'm glad you asked me. You know, Detroit was the Silicon Valley of its age at the beginning of the 20th century. I think it could be so again. There are two things that need to change. I think the business culture needs to evolve to be much more collaborative and risk-oriented to this in Silicon Valley. And in my opinion, we need to complement that with a change to our built environment. We have a sort of stratified suburban model of living, and certainly are many wonderful things happening in Detroit, but I think if we want to attract and retain and make effective the kinds of people who drive Silicon Valley, we need to greatly accelerate the wonderful efforts already underway to have quality, walkable cities.
So yeah, you and I talked a lot about that via email back and forth about, you know, walkable and what does that mean, and you were saying that the Woodward Corridor should be reconfigured to be much more walkable, and in some cases that's happening right now.
Absolutely. Ferndale's a great example of that.
Yeah. Andy, I want to thank you very much for being with us. And by the way, we have somebody who's been a silent partner here, Allison Jaworski, who's been kind of smiling at Andy and the rest of us as we've been talking. Thank you very much for joining us as well. And I hope some of the things you've been talking about really take place here and grab hold. It looks like it's happening. And heaven help us. These days in downtown Detroit remind me of many years ago in downtown Washington, D.C., when they were putting the metro in. It was a nightmare getting around downtown D.C., but what a difference that metro has made in the quality of life and culture in our nation's capital and the areas around it. And right. So I'm hopeful.
I'll just put in a plug, too. You know, it's great for companies here to have somebody that really has a foot in both worlds.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would be very good in Young and Basile.
Andy,
thank you
so much for being with us.